Welcome to All Things Beer, a Pat's Pints, Mark's Mugs podcast.
I'm Pat Woodward.
And I'm Mark Richards.
Each month, we are joined by brewers, enthusiasts, and friends to explore the techniques, the culture, and the history of mankind's best invention.
So grab a beer and join us as we discover a world of all things beer.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of All Things Beer. We've got a real fun show today because we are going to be playing a game.
Two games.
Two games in one. That's right. As people who've listened to this show know, I like to work a game in every now and again into the episode. But today, the whole thing is going to be a game.
That's right. And this is a game that really is based on a question we asked in the last podcast. Has craft beer gone too far? I mean, there's a lot of ingredients that don't match up with German Rheingesgebot rules. And Dan, you were on that excellent roundtable discussion on, has craft beer gone too far? Are they killing themselves with their imaginative ideas? And welcome back, Dan Eaton.
Thank you for having me back. It's nice to be on an episode that isn't a depressing topic.
Well, you haven't had any of these beers yet. Chris Mercihill.
Hello.
Good to have you on, our token Canadian to the show.
Good to be back.
And our improv comedian, Madeline Bogard.
Hi.
Back. So she was on our Irish Stout podcast. Good to have you back on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's like an all-star episode, you know, like when All-Star Survivor or something like that. Only the best.
Pat's going to be leading one game and I'll lead the other. We don't know the answers of each other's games, so we'll be able to play each other's games as well. So, Pat, what is the description of your game today that these three contestants will be challenged to?
Much like the craft beer industry, sometimes struggling to come up with new ideas, we have totally copied something else. My game is based on the NPR quiz show, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. I'm going to read descriptions of three beers that use, shall we say, unconventional ingredients. Two of those are real beers that I found descriptions of them on the World Wide Web, and one of them is going to be one that is totally fabricated by myself. Now, I should tell you that in all three cases, I have used real breweries. So if you just say, oh, I've heard of that brewery, it could still be the fake. Apologies to those breweries that I'm going to slander for making ridiculous beers, but I think in the name of fairness, I had to do that. Are we ready?
I think we're ready, Pat.
Round one is called Seaside Tipples. Okay, so these are going to be beers that have marine ingredients in them. Okay, here is beer number one. Beer number one is called Digger, a 3.8% pale ale with clams, made by Carton Brewing Company in Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey. And here's the description. The oyster stout is a long-established tradition, but Atlantic Highlands, home of Carton Brewing, is a clam town. And the complete absence of clam beers was the inspiration for Digger. As co-owner Augie Carton explained, the beer is a summer seasonal, and in New Jersey the summers get hot, so brewing a stout doesn't make a lot of sense. Instead, we opted to go with a pale ale as the base beer. Locally harvested cherrystone clams are added to the boil, along with a touch of green bullet hops, for just enough bitterness to reset your palate. To complement the clams, we add lemongrass in the whirlpool and salt, at levels similar to Agosa. The final product perfectly captures a day at the clam shack in a shaker pint.
Oh, Chris's favorite.
Favorite glassware, not my favorite seafood, just for the record.
Fair. Okay, number two.
Number two is Lobster Roll IPA, a 6% crustacean IPA by Smug Brewing in Rhode Island. What could be more New England than enjoying a fresh lobster washed down with a pint of beer? What if those two staples of summer were combined into a single awesome package? That is the inspiration for Lobster Roll IPA. The brewers at Smug start with a base of premium Maris Otter malts, as a tip of the hat to New England's British roots. After bittering with a charge of East Kent Goldings, locally sourced lobsters are added to the boil at a rate of 2 lobsters per barrel. In the whirlpool, the beer gets healthy additions of Sirachi Ace and Lemon Drop hops for dill and lemon accents. Finally, the beer is fermented with British yeast, and the fermentation temperature is managed to promote a noticeable but not overwhelming amount of buttery diacetyl for the perfect trifecta of lobster, butter, and seasoning.
Oh, wow. Okay. They finally found a use for diacetyl. Other than this popcorn beer I'm going to make you try later.
Our third beer is a beer called Squid Ink Black IPA, a 6.6% black IPA made by Three Sheeps Brewing in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Founder and brewmaster Grant Pauley disliked the idea of calling certain beers black IPAs, just for the sake of following trends. He figured that such beers were actually hoppy porters, repackaged with a new name, and the conflict between roasty malts and citrusy hops did not sit well with him. One day his wife came home from Chicago bearing squid ink pasta, a veritable tradition in Italy, and Pauley had a revelation. Squid ink, he thought, could modify water salinity in a way that would bring out the flavors of hops in a beer. An idea emerged. Why not make an IPA colored black by squid ink? The head is almost purple, and you get just a touch of that squid ink character. A little ocean on the nose and a little salinity at the finish. Yet the unusual ingredient never overpowers the fruity, dank bouquet that comes from the combination of Centennial, Citra, and Michigan Chinook hops.
Okay.
All right. Those are the options. So you already have locked in your choices, but I'm now locked. You could discuss.
I was struck by the purple head on the third beer. I've never seen a purple head. That's pretty curious. Well, the other thing I noticed in the first description with the Digger Pale Ale, I've never used the phrase to compliment the clams. I've just never heard it or used it, and I don't think I'll ever use it again. Not a big fan of the clams, but that's just me.
Something that stood out to me is that, you know, all three of these are coastal towns, but Sheboygan is an inland coast. And although they may be importing the squid ink, I'm not sure if that is the local ingredient that I would expect.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Are you questioning how locally they source their squid ink?
I absolutely am.
Fair enough.
The thing that I thought was interesting about that one, this is personal biases, is someone who doesn't like a black IPA. I respect someone, if they're real, this could be fake, obviously, but who thinks black IPAs are stupid. They are hoppy porters. And I am actually going to make a black IPA. So I oddly follow the logic of that one.
Yeah, it makes sense. You don't want a lot of that roast character in there. Okay, so I'll start. My spot to fake, I'm going with number two, lobster. Dan?
I also picked number two, the lobster roll.
Same, number two, lobster roll. Fake, fake, fake.
I'm going to be different. I'm not like everyone else. I'm going to say number three, the squid ink.
Going with squid ink.
Shout out to Sheboygan.
Sheboygan.
The fake beer is lobster roll IPA.
Look at that.
I tried to be different.
It's good to be different. We want a
dare to be different.
Diversity of opinions is good.
Yeah. I think so. Okay, unless you want to have the right answer, then you should have picked lobster roll, clearly.
Well, that means we can all try the purple-headed, non-locally sourced squid ink black IPA from Sheboygan someday.
Maybe with a side of cheese curds.
All right. Now, what's your game, Mark?
Game number two that is going to be played intermittently in between pats. This is kind of more on the sensory end. So Reinheitsgebot rules would say no ingredients other than malt, hops, water, and yeast. Any ingredient that is not one of those four that you spy in these next four beers you're going to taste gets you scoring. If you get one right, you get a point. You get one wrong, like you put an ingredient, you're just guessing, you'll lose a point for that.
Are we going to know how many?
I could tell you how many are possible.
Okay.
The first one is going to be only one ingredient that would not fit that parameter. We're going to start off easy. So this one has only one ingredient, just one ingredient that is not one of the four German approved ingredients.
Yeah, it might be easier if it was just a stout crammed with like seven different dessert foods.
Yeah, at least you can get
four or five of them, right?
Exactly.
Cocoa nibs are definitely in there and go from there, but.
Okay, does anybody have an idea yet?
Well, I'm going to tell you, this tastes like beer.
Yeah, it does taste like beer.
Just like just beer.
Mm-hmm. Nail on head.
Nail on head, right there.
It's actually, the base style is one of my favorites.
I would guess it's some kind of vegetable or something like
that.
And I can't quite put my finger on it, but I'm just going to guess this is a cucumber cream ale.
Wow.
Good try, Pat.
Moving on to minus one. I just lost a point.
You know, for tasting as much like just a beer as this does, I also was getting hints of a little bit of a white wine, if you will.
Okay.
And so I'm going to go with a green grape as my ingredient.
This is going to be a rough round.
All right, here's how I want to lose my point. I think it's There's sort of a little of a bitterness, almost a pithiness. It's sort of subtle. I get kind of a grapefruit.
Oh, interesting.
Is where I go. Okay. So I'm going to say, because you didn't immediately say yes, 1 point for Chris, I'm going to say a citrus fruit to try to cast my net wider.
Okay.
But it looks like I just lost my point.
Yep. Another down.
I'm going to go with coriander.
Okay. Well, that's a rough round, everybody.
Tell us about this beer, Mark.
Does anyone want to go around again, put another point on the line? Is that okay?
You just keep tanking all your points.
Yeah. I could lose a lot of points when I rate this game.
This really goes along with Pat's first round theme, and this is from the sea. So this beer is called The Pearl from Fonta Flora Brewery in North Carolina. It is a Bohemian Czech-style pilsner with the addition of oysters, which are commonly used in British ales.
Yeah.
As we know, the oyster stout. So they wanted to see how it would work out with the pilsner, and they liked it. So
I feel like I just let my dad down because he's the biggest oyster fan of all time.
Oh, shucks.
I didn't catch it.
See what you did there.
The oyster is the grapefruit of the sea, I want to point out. So maybe half a point? No.
People are always saying
could have used more oyster, honestly.
Yeah, I think after you have that in your head, maybe you get a little bit of that salty, briny character. Yeah. But
you know what you often have with oysters? White wine.
Oh, look at that.
That is
so
true.
Hey, you're at least adjacent in your answer.
You know what? For a second, I was almost thinking salt before I went down the grapefruit path.
Oh, maybe so you're,
But I didn't get it. But could have used more oysters. Again, not an expression I've ever heard before.
Yeah, but salt, I mean, that's where it is. So, okay.
Well, you know, I was thinking it almost had like a Gosa-like character. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, I wonder if this is sour, but it was the salt probably I was picking up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so.
I can see why now it's hard to taste the oysters in an oyster stout.
Sure, yeah.
It just adds a little brininess mostly. Because it's very subtle, yeah.
Now I kind of want to try the clam. the clam one.
Yeah, the clam.
Before, I was like, I don't know if I'm clam forward enough, but if this is an oyster beer, then I think I could be into the clams. Yes.
Next time you're in New Jersey.
Got a quick question. Did you plan to both have a nautical themed beer? Was that total coincidence?
I didn't know what beers Mark was going to pick.
I mean, it's just how in tune we are mentally as hosts of the show. Totally unplanned, and I think kind of cool that it worked out that way, though. Couldn't plan it better if we were trying. All right, Pat, going back to your game.
Okay, you guys ready for round two?
Let's do it.
All right, round two is called Who Wants to Live Forever? These are beers that have healthy ingredients added to them. Okay, the first one. Smoked Salmon Porter, a 6.5% smoked porter from Alaska Brewing in Juneau, Alaska. The Alaskan smoked porter is rightfully considered an icon of the American brewing scene. When it first came out in 1988, the use of smoked malts was unheard of in American brewing circles. It's brewed from glacier-fed water that originates in the 1,500-square-mile Juneau ice fields, and malts that are smoked in small batches under carefully controlled conditions using local alderwood. In 2019, the team at Alaskan Brewing decided to release a limited batch of this special beer with a few tweaks to appeal to health-conscious consumers. They bulked up the malt bill with a healthy dose of flaked oats to promote heart health while improving head retention along the way. Next, they dosed the beer with omega-3 fish oil extracted from Alaskan salmon, post-fermentation, mind you. The beer was initially envisioned as a one-off to be served at the Juneau Marathon, but it was so well received that it enjoys periodic returns to the tap list at the brewpub. Beer number two is called Precious, a 5% Japanese lager made by Suntory Brewing in Hokkaido, Japan. Recently, Suntory Holdings Limited launched a beer named Precious that is targeted at women in Japan. It has 5% alcohol and 2 grams of collagen per can. The beer features the questionable tagline, "Guys can tell if a girl is taking collagen." A slogan that some...
and we all agree.
This isn't real. I mean,
obviously, right? We agree.
A slogan that some would consider to be both chauvinistic and inaccurate. Marketing aside, you can't help but wonder, could drinking beer really slow the effects of father time? When that question was put to representatives from Suntory, they couldn't vouch for the beer's anti-aging effects. Rather, the motivation seems to be driven almost entirely by market demands. According to Taito Mikami, public relations representative from Suntory, Japanese women want to take collagen, so we created this regionally marketed product to meet their needs.
Wow.
Mm. Okay, beer number three. Kale Ale, a 6.5% Saison from Nola Brewing in New Orleans, Louisiana. We all know that Saisons are the original farmhouse ale, so the brewers at Nola figured, why not put the farm in their farmhouse ale by adding an unusual ingredient, kale. It turns out that kale is high in calcium, so instead of water amendments like gypsum or calcium chloride, they add kale to the hot liquor tank in order to extract calcium that is needed to promote enzymatic conversion of starches to sugar during the mash. The rest of the brew day proceeds like normal until they get to the whirlpool. Once the temperature has cooled to 170 Fahrenheit, they fill the vessel with kale to extract some of the healthy ingredients that have volatilized during the boil, including folic acid and vitamin K. The leafy superfood also imbues the beer with an attractive green hue. Brewer Alex Flores comments that the kale adds an earthiness and a rusticity that aligns well with the ethos of farmhouse brewers of Valonia. Plus, it sells like gangbusters around St. Patrick's Day.
Okay. Wow. I don't know if I want to fall for like, this is so believable. Maybe it's a trick.
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Yes.
These descriptions, did you pull these from the website of the brewery?
Yeah, the real ones were pulled off the internet. Some of them were written by the brewery. Some of them were written by publications.
Okay.
And I modified them slightly so they would all sound to be in the same voice.
So the thought of drinking a dark, smoky, fishy beer after running a marathon is kind of insane to me. I used to run a lot more, and having a beer after a run is very nice, but that would not be the type of beer I would want to have. But then again, it is in Alaska, and I'm sure those people are built a little different.
But you're the guy who said, and I quote, could have used more oysters. beer. So why so judgy on the salmon?
Yeah, this is Alaska, though. Yeah, I think you're right. I don't know. That's a tough one. Doesn't scream refreshing, though, does it?
It does not.
I said number one was not the real one. I think the Japanese collagen one was a really good one to throw us off our tracks. But I unfortunately do believe that there probably is a collagen beer out there marketed just towards women specifically. So I think that one exists. And the smoked fish in a beer in a porter gives me extreme pause.
I went a completely different direction. I think smoked salmon is fantastic. In fact, I almost picked number one because I know Pat likes his smoked malts. And he also said this beer makes a periodic return. I thought there was a little chemistry joke in there. I thought, oh, this is definitely one Pat made, until I saw at the end that the author of the description of the beer noted the calcium and calcium chloride content added by the kale went deep into chemistry. And I was like, that's Pat's beer. I went number three.
Yeah, it's a good approach.
No, the judge.
I'm going with three, the kale beer as the fake.
We've got two votes for the kale beer and two votes for the smoked salmon beer. The fake is the smoked salmon porter.
All right.
That's good.
I'm not sure I drink any of them, but
it is a little bit sad that there's a collagen beer in Japan marketed to women.
I also was thinking, I was like, I am sure that there is a marathon in Alaska, but I feel like there's probably a very short window in which that marathon can be.
Yeah.
All weekend.
Yeah.
Maybe a triathlon. You're swimming in the icy waters.
Great idea.
All right, round two from Mark now.
Yeah, so far our team isn't doing too well, Pat. You know, Pat and I are on the same team, but we're also disqualified from winning. It doesn't look like we're in the right direction, does it?
That's okay.
Okay, moving on to round two in the name the ingredients. This is a big one. Five possible points. There are five ingredients in this beer that Germany would not approve of.
When I first saw it, I thought, oh, that looks like a Bloody Mary. But now that I'm holding it up close, it's a little more pink.
Does not taste like a Bloody Mary.
It's bright pink. It's thick. It looks like a smoothie. You can't, like, light does not pass through it.
Wow, that's pretty good, though. I have to say.
Doesn't taste a damn thing like beer, but it's good, huh?
Yeah, the kids would like this one.
Yeah, this is right up your alley, Chris, for sure.
I might have this in my fridge right now.
I see Pat writing down lettuce. I don't think I say it.
Kale, it's that kale beer
guy.
I mean,
it could be. I don't want to give anything away.
Beets. I'm just going to pick vegetables for everyone.
They're all healthy if you put enough vegetables in them.
So there's five ingredients in this beer.
Five possible.
But we don't have to guess five necessarily, right?
Because if we do, you're going to get 5 points.
Unless you miss some. Well, you can't get below zero.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Zero's the floor.
Most excellent. That's good for me.
You know, initially I did say this is pretty good, but now I'm kind of glad that we're splitting this one 16-ounce can four
ways.
Yeah,
this is good for a flight.
It's a little sweet.
Yeah. All right, here's my guess. Raspberries, blackberries, lactose, vanilla, marshmallows.
Raspberries, blueberries, strawberries, lactose, marshmallows.
I also went with raspberries, lactose, blueberries, jelly beans, and coriander.
To be healthy. Sticking with the coriander, even if he gets a minus one.
It's a classic. It's a classic. You got
every beer.
All right, I went with raspberry, cherry, celery, lemon, nerds.
Oh wow!
Okay.
Nerds kind of encapsulates a lot of different fruits, so that's a
well played.
It's a good one. Okay, so the correct answers are, and we'll just put you all on the honor system and scoring. I think Pat is the closest, actually, with a point for blackberry, raspberry, marshmallow. So I think that stops you at 3 points.
I got three.
Did you have strawberry?
I did not. Dan had, I think, right?
And
I Chris had.
Chris did, cool. And of all things, grape.
Oh.
Yeah.
Grapes.
Madeline, you were too
wine.
Early.
One beer.
Yeah.
Is there lactose?
No lactose, lactose, huh?
No lactose. No lactose. All from the marshmallow, I guess.
Wow. So, no vanilla.
No vanilla.
Okay.
That was a good guess, though.
This is a Grateful Dead-themed beer called Jammy Band, and I think you can see why it's called Jammy.
Absolutely.
Not just for jam band. And this is by a semi-local brewery here in Ohio called Denkhouse Brewing Company out in Newark,
yep.
Ohio. Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of their beers in my fridge right now.
Oh, nice. Fantastic. Okay.
I thought I recognized this one.
Yeah. So they are billing this as a fruited sour coming in at 6% ABV.
Okay. We get one positive point for the ones we guessed correct, and we lose 1 point for the ones we missed, right?
But we can't go below zero.
But we cannot go below zero.
So if someone say guessed coriander.
Yes.
And it was not, the beer did not include coriander.
Madeline is the one below. Who should have stuck with their guess from the first round in this
grapes.
Case. Yeah. That's a pretty hard to pick out, the grapes. But I got 1 point then because I had three right and two wrong.
Same here.
I got 0 points.
Me as well.
Okay. It's hard.
Pat, moving on to the third round of Wait, Wait, Don't Beer Me.
Okay. The title of this round is Just Plain Weird. So there's not necessarily a theme here, but these things are all unusual ingredients to be sure. Beer number one. General Gosa. A 4.5% Gosa made by Stillwater Brewing in Baltimore, Maryland. This amber-colored wheat ale is soured with lactobacillus and sea salt is added, just as they do in Leipzig. But once the fermentation is complete, the plot takes an unexpected twist. Powdered orange peel is added to give a hue that approximates the General Tso's glaze, and Thai chili peppers are added in a manner similar to dry hopping. The peppers add a hit of capsaicin at the finish that plays off the bready malt base. Finally, MSG, monosodium glutamate, is added to further boost the authenticity of a beer inspired by the iconic American Chinese takeout dish.
Interesting.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah, really.
I'm in. If it's not real, I'm going to ruin these this summer. Just putting it on tape. Call me out if I don't.
Okay. Beer number two. Ralphius. A 12% Russian Imperial Stout by Free Will Brewing in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Free Will is known for their highly sought-after Russian Imperial Stout called Ralphius, named after one of the brewer's adopted dogs. Every year, they release several barrel-aged iterations, and in 2019, one of the Ralphius variants was aged in bourbon barrels with vanilla beans and Kopi Luwak coffee beans. For those unfamiliar with this exotic, expensive coffee bean, it's made by taking partially digested coffee berries from the excrement of Asian palm civets, small jungle cats native to Southeast Asia. The cherries are partially fermented as they pass through the civet's GI tract. Locals then collect, clean, process, and roast these unusual morsels taken from the cat droppings. This unconventional process leads to a coffee with pronounced earthy, musty, and chocolate notes.
Oh, I bet there's chocolate notes.
There's definitely some cocoa.
Oh, sure.
In there.
Oh, look, I've got some maybe. Cocoa nibs on the forest floor right there. Oh, boy.
All right. And the third one, this is technically not a beer, but, you know, it's made by a brewing company, so I'm going to include it. called Hard Milk, a 4% malt-free beverage made by Tampa Bay Brewing Company in Tampa, Florida. The mad scientists at Tampa Bay Brewing start with the finest milk from local antibiotic-free cows and dilute it with RO water to reach the appropriate gravity. Next, they add Madagascar vanilla beans, orange blossom honey to promote fermentation, aseptic fruit puree, raspberries, mangoes, or strawberries, depending on the variant, and of course, more lactose. A proprietary blend of lactobacillus and yeast is used to ferment this otherworldly concoction. After fermentation is complete, they naturally carbonate by adding the finest cane sugar to kick off a second round of fermentation in a can. The final product is sessionable, decadently delicious, and packs more calcium per ounce than any beer in the Western Hemisphere. Not intended for the lactose intolerant.
Wow.
Wow.
A lot of Easter eggs in these descriptions, yeah. I figure.
You're not wrong.
Does any of those sound like a beer you'd like to drink?
No.
They are all beers I'd like to sip for a second.
I'd get a flight.
Yeah.
Just want to try.
I'm not gonna lie, I'd get a flight.
I'll try anything once.
I know the pooped out coffee beans thing is a thing. That's expensive.
A thing.
Coffee,
I've heard of that. Yeah.
Would they put that in a beer? I mean, they put everything in a beer. That's the theme, right? So,
but you could probably get maybe just a little bit of it and put it in there and be able to claim that. But it's still, that's a pretty expensive ingredient.
Yeah. That. Yeah. Is everybody locked in?
I'm still processing. Okay. I think you could locally harvest your own pooped out coffee beans if you didn't have a Civic cat.
I mean, you could, but then you couldn't claim that they were the coffee beans from the Civet.
Yeah.
But the locavores, maybe? I don't know. We're too far down this track.
All right, Chris, you locked in?
I think I am, yes.
Everyone's locked in? I think I'm going because the exact same reason Dan says. I know those coffee beans to be very expensive. It's kind of why I picked lobster, because I was like, man, two lobsters. That's a lot of lobster.
Lobsters are cheap in New England.
Not when I've been to New England, but what do you think, Dan?
Well, this is why breweries are struggling, right? Like, they're making these wild beers, don't sell them. They're too costly to make. They don't know how to price them out. So.
There's no margins on the poop coffee beer.
I went with my gut, so to speak, and I also went with the poop coffee beer. The hard milk, it's so wild, I believe it. that is so out there that I'm like, no, that's got to be true. Pat wouldn't make that up.
See, I sort of went the opposite. I think that the hard milk is a thought experiment Pat has been sitting on for a while. Maybe he came up with, it was, I think, too detailed. I think Pat made that one up. That's my guess.
I have to agree. Hard milk, when you use the word appropriate gravity, I said, that feels like Gen Chem. I'm going to say hard milk. Also, Florida, Tampa, that'd be the only place crazy enough to try something like this. So you tried to place it somewhere believable.
Yeah.
But I still think hard
milk
is fake.
How many dairy farms are in Florida, too?
Right. Dairy, I think Florida.
Of course.
Well, Florida cheeseheads, right?
The fake was the hard milk. By Tampa
Bay
Brewing.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. Okay.
Now, I have to say, I got the idea from that from an April Fool's Day post by this brewery.
Okay, wow.
Yeah,
okay,
that they
great.
Said something. I filled in a few details, like the appropriate gravity, because I thought, could you really ferment? I mean, of course you can ferment milk, but it would make yogurt, right? And you want it still liquid. So yeah, hard milk, not a thing.
They made a prank about it, and Pat's like, challenge accepted. Here's how you do it. Here's how the Gen Chem knocks it out, and there you go.
Well, come back next year for a podcast where we attempt to make hard milk.
I'm busy that day.
Okay, well, so we're on to round three of Mark's game now. Maybe we should update the points, at least on my half of the game. I can see that Mark has 1 point. Dan, what about you?
I have two.
Chris? Madeline, two. Okay. All right.
Okay, back to Family Beer Feud. Got our next specimen here for the contestants. And this is 4 possible answers hidden in this beer.
I'm not a super fan on the first sip, I have to say.
I would agree.
But it looks about like a glass of orange juice, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a hazy IPA of some description, I'd be willing to bet. But.
And the Germans might be fine with these hops. I'm not sure that I am, just on the nose. I'm just putting
them. Uh-oh.
Now, we wouldn't count some kind of bacteria, right? That wouldn't count, like a souring bacteria?
Yeah, we don't need to include that.
Okay.
Fermentation is fermentation. The magic.
That's right. God is good. That's what the English used to call it. Would anyone else like to go first this time?
I might need another minute.
K.
Can you be strategic and not guess four ingredients?
Sure.
Get the positive points, if you don't want to get any wrong.
I think any strategy take, it's up to the individual.
Okay. I think I'm guessing three.
Scared money don't make money.
Got it.
All right, then my fourth guess will be oysters, because as Dan said, can always use more oysters.
Is everyone locked in? I see Madeline still down there scratching her head.
I think I can be locked in.
I think that's our grocery list, actually.
Just thinking ahead for the week.
Smart.
All right, I was going to go with three, but I've added a last-minute one.
Scared money don't make money, Pat.
Okay, here we go. This is my pick, and I'm going to treat these in order of less confidence. Yeah.
Okay.
There's definitely a kind of a pithy bitterness that I think must come from some kind of citrus peel. And so I'm going to say grapefruit peel or the skin of grapefruit, but it could be a different citrus fruit. I don't know. Then I'm going to go with lactose because we haven't had that yet, and I can't imagine that it's not coming soon. Then I'm going to go with, because it also hasn't come up yet, but it seems like we're due for coriander. So coriander seeds. And then I was going to stop there, but then I thought, you know, I remember in the hazy IPAs, some breweries would add, you know, something like a flower or something like that to get the haziness. And it does leave kind of a lot in the bottom of the glass. But I'm going to go with pie dough.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Pie dough.
Pie dough.
Well, there was a brewery up in Michigan, right? Brain Brewing, I think, who once threw a, like, because you were telling me about this beer, Mark. What was it?
Yeah, they brew it for the Cherry Festival up in Traverse City. And this beer has whole cherry pies into the mash. And it's, I mean, I don't know what the number is per barrel, but it's a lot. It's a lot of cherry pies.
Actually, I would like to change my answer then. Instead of pie dough, I'm just going to say lemon meringue pies.
Specific.
Wow. Because, you know, get some protein from the meringue, which help with head retention. You got the pie dough, you got the lemon, and that
could
goes
also
with
do
the
what the lactose is doing.
Yeah.
If you're going to lose a point, you might as well lose big, right?
I will go next. I'm pretty basic on this. I just went with orange, went with a little bit of mango, went with some Himalayan sea salt, right? It's really subtle. Has a real coriander finish.
Two votes for coriander.
Sticking with the coriander. Yeah. Well, so far, Pat and Dan have at least one correct.
Interesting. Then I'm going to change mine to lemon pies and coriander. All right. I'll read what I wrote down. I was pretty solid on pineapple. Was the first thing. Can't get that on my head. I also added lactose. I was pretty sure from the body, it's sort of sweet. And then I kind of wanted to add a third one. I went peach. You get a lot of fruit, but I'm not sure. Not my favorite hops bill, so I'm not sure I can tease them out. But that's what I'm going with. Pineapple, peach, and lactose.
All right, I'm going to go with orange, ?
Okay.
Next, I had pineapple,
Pineapple, exclamation point.
Vanilla and marmalade.
Oh.
No punctuation.
Oh, yeah.
I can see that. Well, I think everybody has at least one right. What was yours again, Chris?
Pineapple, peach, and lactose.
Okay, everybody has one right.
Tell us about this beer, Mark.
So this is called Combat Spandex from Hoofhearted.
Yeah, it's a hoof beer for sure.
Yeah, and this is a soured triple IPA, billing in at a whopping 11.4 ABV.
That'll put you on your ass.
But boy, does it seem like it has any alcohol.
Yeah,
it just tastes like orange juice to me.
I would never guess that's, yeah.
So here's the ingredients. Dan had one.
Nice.
Mango. Kiwi.
Oh,
kiwi
okay.
Kiwi fruit,
okay.
Yeah, of all things. Vanilla. Back down to Madeline on that one. And then to Pat and Chris, milk sugar.
Okay.
Milk sugar.
Yeah, okay.
Lactose.
No orange?
No orange.
But so 1 minus 3 is still 0.
But you know, with the hops, there could be a myriad of flavors. It's kind of odd that I only have the fruits in front of me and weird ingredients and none of the hops listed on this IPA.
So what's funny is I had this beer a couple of days ago. Just did not register in this moment at all.
Note to Trevor, add coriander to, what's this, Combat Spandex?
Combat Spandex, yeah. I'm trying to keep it as local as I can here with the crazy stuff.
Yeah, I'm even wearing a Hoofhearted shirt.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
You have a big picture of a kiwi and a mango on your chest, Pat. I don't know how you didn't pick up on those.
It's probably the first beer I've had with a kiwi.
Okay.
All right, we're headed to the final round, of both games. Mm. the theme of round four, I call this Animal Farm. So these are going to be beers with animal parts used in the brewing.
Oh, boy.
Oysters are an animal part.
That is true. All right. The first beer is called Moulin Rouge, a 6.5% beer de garde from Savannah River Brewing in Augusta, Georgia. The owners and crew at Savannah River Brewing are unabashed Francophiles. What better way to celebrate that passion than with a beer inspired by Paris's iconic cabaret? The combination of French Pilsner malt blended with judicious amounts of Munich and Red X malts give this beer a velvety smooth base and a reddish hue fitting of the name. The decadence of the malts is balanced perfectly by a blend of Strisselswalt, the classic Alsatian hop, and a new hop varietal called Barbe Rouge. The coup de grace is the addition of snails, 1 pound per barrel, once the whirlpool has cooled to 180 degrees Fahrenheit. The beer not only pairs well with escargot, it's the perfect complement to an order of moule frites.
Okay.
Little Belgian angle there, mm-hmm. Dan. I like it.
The second beer is called Mangalista Pig Porter, a 7% American porter made by a brewery we were just talking about, Right Brain Brewing in Traverse City, Michigan. The team at Right Brain are known for an innovative, some might say outlandish approach to brewing. This is perhaps best exemplified by their Mangalista Pig Porter. The origin story behind this beer started when owner Russ Springsteen was having a conversation with a local butcher. The butcher was waxing poetic about the Mangalista pig, so Springsteen asked what they did with the heads and bones afterwards. After a few more beers, the pair agreed that the leftover pig parts could be used to brew a beer. The heads and bones of the smoked pigs are put into fine mesh bags and added to the boil. This extracts smoky flavors and natural pork oils that give the beer its distinctive taste. The brewery describes the flavor as being akin to a soft pretzel topped with a slice of ham and dipped into Hershey's chocolate syrup. They must be doing something right because the beer took home a gold medal in the experimental beer category at the 2011 GABF.
Oh, wow.
I'm glad they're using natural pork oils.
Cocoa nibs.
Yeah.
I'm tired of drinking the artificial pork oil beers.
The third beer is called Walker, a 7.2% blonde stout by Dock Street Brewing in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This beer, first brewed in 2015, pays tribute to the AMC's Walking Dead. The idea for the beer came from head brewer Justin Lowe. Lowe joined a Walking Dead-themed bowling league, and of course he wanted to drink beer while bowling. This led to the idea of a blonde stout incorporating ingredients that evoke the zombie apocalypse. Walker is brewed with substantial amounts of malted wheat, oats, and flake barley for a smooth, creamy mouthfeel. Fuggle hops provide delicate, earthy notes, while cranberries added at flameout create a sinister, bloody hue and a hint of tartness. But it's the pre-sparge addition of roasted goat brains that makes it zombie-friendly, while adding subtle notes of smoke to the beer.
Wow.
Were the goat brains smoked, did I hear? Or am
roasted.
Roasted.
Yes. That's going to affect my score.
I don't know over what substance, you know, but yeah. Roasted.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking that two of these beers must actually be real.
You had me until goat brain.
Wow. Yeah, snails might be the least exotic ingredient thrown into one of these beers. That's a lot to take in.
The pig beer, I mean, that's basically a broth. You're just making a pork broth, you know, essentially.
Just carbonate it up, put it on tap.
Absolutely. I get that. That makes sense to me.
One would think it might negatively impact the head retention.
But pork soda? Any Primus fans?
Okay, I'm going to lead off, and I'm going to select three, the brains.
I missed the name of the beer. I'm just calling it the goat brain beer. I think that was just that's a bridge too far. As someone who earlier said, I'll try anything once. I don't know that I would try that one if it really exists.
So it's a question of how many brains you put in. So just like the pooped coffee, you sprinkle a few brains in there to say, ooh, it's for zombies only. I think the smoked pig parts and the greasy oils and, quote, natural pork oils they would bring would be harder for the yeast to handle than a couple. I mean, goats don't have big brains, do they? I'm going number two.
Counterpoint, this beer seems awfully highfalutin for a bowling league. That's a compliment to bowling leagues. Yeah. That's not a slam on bowling leagues. But it feels like the bowling league origin story. You know, I don't know that this guy's very serious about bowling.
That's just if like that's your opinion, man.
But you have to remember how popular The Walking Dead was at this time.
This is
as
true.
Well. This is why I think number three is actually believable. Unfortunately, I think number two is believable as well. I'm going to say Moulin Rouge number one my fake one, simply because 1 pound of snails per barrel feels like too many snails per barrel.
That's a lot of snails.
Are these naturally found? Are they buying these snails? Are they importing them? Are they just finding them in the yard? Because snails, you know, maybe not that expensive.
You know, one thing that I learned about escargot while working on this, it turns out that escargot is normally eaten in the winter. It's a Christmas time favorite because snails during the winter go into kind of a dormancy, and so they don't have any fecal matter in their GI tract, and so they don't have to clean the snails.
Why do all these beers have poop?
Well, okay, the fake beer was Moulin Rouge, snail beer de garde.
Good job. Who had that one?
Me.
Madeline nailed it. Good job.
Only one to get that one. Yeah. So close to my last name.
That's and the pig beer did win a gold medal at the GABF.
Okay.
And what was the category? Experimental beers?
This was, experimental beers. Yeah.
Wow.
They won a gold in pig beers.
It was the best brain beer, you know, because that one is the whole head of the pig went in. So I assume the brains are still in there, right?
Technically, two of the beers had brains in them.
Yeah.
Pat, suddenly hazy IPAs don't seem as bad now. Pat, why don't you give us a breakdown on where we're at on scoring?
All right. I've got our combined score sheet. So from the wait, don't beer me portion of the game through four rounds, you earned 1 point.
Okay.
And from the Rheinheitsgewacht through three rounds, I have accrued 1 point. So we have a total of 2 points.
Oh, we're kicking ass over here. Okay. How about you, Madeline?
I have a total of 3 points from Spot the Fake, which I feel pretty good about, not going to lie. And then in this one, we're not counting negative points, so I have 0 points so far.
In Spot the Fake, I went 2 for 4, which I feel okay about. And then if we can't go negative in the points in the Ryan Heights go, what? I have a point, which I feel pretty good about.
Okay. I think coriander just blew yours to hell.
You took my joke. On Spot the Fake, I started off hot and went for 2 for 2, but I have missed on the last two. I've been tripped up by hard milk and goat brains.
Couldn't be me.
And then in the Rheinheitsgewacht, I have 0 in it. That is perhaps due to my commitment to coriander, which may be real or maybe a bit.
Well, if you add both of them together, though, what do we have? We have 2. Madeline, you have 3. Chris, 3. Dan, 2.
Oh, okay.
So it's still anybody's game.
With one round left to play.
Yep.
Moving on to the final round of all games.
This will be, I believe, another 5 ingredient beer.
Wow. That's going to be hard.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. I was hoping you'd say 2.
What does it smell
like?
No,
this is 5. Beer. And I'll also say, although I'm having a little difficulty detecting it, one of them is a visual ingredient.
I don't know. I can't identify, but I see it. If it's visual, I see it.
Oh, I see what you're talking about now that my beer is almost gone. This one's hard, but I think I've got...
I crossed one out.
I mean, strategy. Everybody wants to win.
I'm just, you know, everybody wants to win.
I mean,
stuff.
It's tough right now. You know, Dan's got coriander. It's not going to be 5 editions of coriander, Dan.
There are different types of coriander.
Yes, that's true.
Fair.
Okay. I don't know. I don't really have a great idea. The one that I'm pretty sure about is the visual, and I think this is a glitter beer.
Uh-huh.
So I put glitter.
Glitter.
That's a thing.
It's a thing. We'll go ahead and tell you you're right. I'll have to say, though, cost per can, I wanted it to be swirling with glitter.
Pretty subtle. Yeah. From there, it's a little harder for me. I'm going to guess there was something like grape must, some kind of grapey note to it. And then I really don't know. But my next guess is the juice from a can of mandarin oranges. Not actual oranges, just the juice.
Just the juice. Okay.
That's a little
what brand.
Dull. Yeah.
The
do you want the point?
Generic brand. Generic brand. Kroger. Adds a little hint Kroger of salinity. Brand. Yeah, Kroger brand.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to finish with collagen.
Oh boy!
Oh wow! Just wanted to lose that point.
Nice.
I'll go next. I said grapefruit?
Okay.
coriander, dot, 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 lime, sea salt, and then I said like a jelly substance of some sort, not like a jam, but like a, I guess, gelatin.
Yeah.
But I think that was not the right ingredient.
Brewers do add gelatin to their beer mm-hmm. to
finings
drop,
for yeah, finings,
to drop sure. out all the haze out of it. Actually. So these brewers didn't use gelatin, I'm pretty sure.
I would think they'd want to keep all their haze from what I've seen in the last three beers, sure.
I had gelatin and I crossed it out because oh. I know it can be part of the brewing process. There was sort of like a jello shoddy thing. Mm. When the glass was more full, those swirls of glitter I thought were like strands. I almost put like egg whites. They were almost stringy. It was weird. So anyway.
Tadpoles, maybe?
Maybe. There was a sea monkey thing for a while. So my three official guesses were body glitter in taro bang, lime, and salt. I did not specify the origin of the salt.
Okay.
I'll start with the visual component, which I genuinely guessed sea monkeys, and then the sea monkeys became a joke, and then as I drank it down, I realized it was glitter, so I did get that one. Then I went with lemon. I also went with salt. I went with orange peel, and then coriander.
As we would expect you would. I'm surprised a lot of them could just fall into this one category of Fruit Loops cereal, which is one of the main ingredients. This is... Unicorn Farts from DeClaw Brewery in Maryland. And this is a glittered sour ale. So the glitter answer was correct. This has cherries, tangerines, which a lot of people were getting citrus of some note, limes, Fruit Loop cereal, and glitter, edible glitter.
Man, I knew I should have guessed some kind of cereal.
Yeah, this was a collaboration with Diablo.
General Mills.
Yeah, right. Diablo Donuts. So they must also be Maryland.
I was not getting any cereal from this.
Yeah, I wouldn't say cereal. I mean, all those fruits, I guess.
What were the fruits again?
Cherries, tangerines, and lime.
Now, is glittered sour an official style category?
Well, according to DeClaw Brewery from Maryland, yes.
Okay. It is a thing.
It is a thing. I've heard of it. This is the first time I've had a glitter beer, and I'll have to admit, I'm a bit disappointed at the wow factor. I wanted more visual out of this for sure. Okay, so that's it.
Well, let's go around and see what the points are. Did anybody get any points that round?
I got lime and body glitter, yes. Salt, no. So I did get a point off that beer.
One point.
Man, I got lime, but I had -4 points on the other ones.
Oh, boy.
I think that means, Chris, you are the winner. Is that correct? How many points did you end up at the 4? Is that 4?
Well, I got 2 points on Ryan Heights Gawat and 2 points on Spot the Fake.
Mm-hmm.
Nailed it.
I don't know where that leaves me.
I only had 3 points on Spot the Fake.
I had 2 points on Spot the Fake and 0 on Ryan Heights Gawat.
Okay. If only we had had a Hoegaarden, you know, would have totally nailed it, Dan. Well, Mark and I together got 2 points total, one from each. Yeah.
So, Chris, how many points do you have?
4 points total.
Nice job.
Close game all around. Yeah. Congrats, everybody.
Kritz is a winner. And I think, I mean, with these amazingly delicious beers, we're all winners, aren't we now?
Indeed.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for coming on. This was fun.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. Thanks.
For sure. All right.
Cheers.
Cheers.
That was fun.